Hello, everybody. This is Frank with Iron Age. It's the 15th again of December, and I know it's cold in Germany. That's why we're going to talk about this. A few articles have come together in a perfect storm to more accurately assess the issues of the gas shortages and the problems that are befalling Europe and how they're slavish. Devotion to socialism and to this bizarre utopian society they think they're building has caused all their problems, more so even than the Ukraine war, which, as we're going to see in a couple of these, especially if one were to look at the Amit and Gupta article, which is a video, I'm sorry, that I have here, it's as if they knew it was coming and they've been planning for the war in Ukraine, but it just wasn't working out the way it was supposed to. I've never been a fan of Angela Merkel. I always thought she was a secret socialist. I would like to know all the information that the United States had on her. As you recall, we were tapping her phone under the Obama administration, her personal line and her business line. And yet we seem to know nothing about the woman and who really was guiding her as far as her social and industrial programs in Germany. The German economy drives the EU. German production machine is the EU. Like it or not, they were able to accomplish through trade what they never could with the Panzer. And the problem has been they have also fallen victim to this horrible socialist utopian bullshit. We're going to cover a couple of these because it's been fascinating to me when people lie about these countries and say, oh, well, you know, they were never this, they were never that. I recall in the 1990s that the whole push had been for Germany to become energy self-sufficient. It had always been the issue. And this is when you say there are always forces out there, which would be Merkel and some of her people. Correct me if I'm wrong, people. Tell me who it is who did it. The German people always had a fear of not being energy self-sufficient. It goes back both world wars. They had issues with fuel, things of that nature. It's getting harder and harder, unless I'm just getting lazier and lazier, to find documents online regarding most of these countries' energy programs that go back before the year 2000. Germany originally was a coal fire system that was just their big thing. They then added nuclear power, and then they got involved in the alternative energies to sort of take the highs out of the high periods. You know, it was always kind of an also-ran, and then some genius decided that they were going to invest full time in it. I will have links to all these associated pages, which be best for you to look through on your own, make your own judgments. But there was definitely a movement to ruin Germany, thereby ruining the EU's economy by pushing it on this renewable energy. There's a an article here brought to you by United Nations University, right? This is from 2010. And in it, in 2009, 16.1%, 2009, not long ago, 16.1% of total electricity consumption in Germany was from renewable sources, especially wind power. And then they say, but also photovoltaics and biomass. In this nation of more than 80 million people, just reading it just because sometimes you have to. The speed of change is more telling than the actual percentage. That's a scary line. The current figure is up from just 4.7% in 2000, and this share is expected to reach 30% by 2020. We're in 2022, okay? So what had occurred was the Germans opened a thing called the Renewable Energy Sources Act. I know something about this. Some of my cousins live in Germany, and they were paying everybody and their grandmother to put solar panels and windmills and all this shit up in your yard. The government paid for most of it. If you produced enough electric that would be over and above, you were reimbursed by the power company, which is the only rational thing in the entire discussion. If you've taken any kind of courses on solar arrays or solar array inspection, things like that, which I did. Certain parts of the world are not ideal for solar energy. Germany is not ideal for solar energy. It would be ideal for solar energy seasonally, which is not something you want to keep your people alive based on that fact. Those numbers were ginned up, as we would say, and came out in later reports about how great everything was working in Germany. Okay, so, and of course, their other issue here is, this is a very, very blowjobby piece because it's done by the UN who is pushing this, okay? Which is also, where is it? And this is where you hear Green New Deal. This is 2000, this is what I say, 2010. Green New Deal has already surfaced before that, around 2000 in Europe. So it's not new to America. It's a socialist plan that was originally inflicted upon the Europeans, then found its way to the United States with AOC and the squad, to then be inflicted upon the Americans. We know the failures, yet the Europeans had the political will and the European people, the total softness to just let it happen. And now they are reeling in the problems, right? So, or is it that they said, this is crazy. A more critical position is held by the prominent pro-market German economic think tank, doesn't matter the name, it's very long in German, released a damning study on the industry in 2009. If you click on the study where it says damning study, there's the damning study. The authors argue that the huge subsidization, which they calculate to be as high as $240,000 per worker. Okay, they're subsidizing to the tune of $240,000 per worker for this failed energy program, has failed to harness the market incentives needed to ensure a viable and cost-effective introduction of renewable energies into the country's energy portfolio. And why is that? Because as Germany put out these very high-end, super-duper solar panels, the Chinese flooded the market with shit. The best solar panels on the market, if you're Rolls-Royce-ing it, Germany and Japan. You just want some shit, China. If you want something for the backyard to keep your car battery full up, China. You want something that's going to last a long time, Germany and Japan. The cost differential, incredible, which is why they had to do this. And while they were doing it, the Chinese started to flood their market. So it was no longer just high-end German solar panels. So they don't say in the article, which they should, because I remember when this was going on. And that was why you could get them so damn cheap, because China flooded the market. You get them all over the place, you know. And so here we're talking that the government subsidized to the tune of $250,000 per worker this failed program. It works if you throw enough money at it. So once again, as we say in other episodes of this, how much money does Germany have left, right? Have they been hiding their debt system in their banks, which they're famous for doing? And now, you know, it's coming, all the chickens are coming home to roost. So then, like I said, it mentions the Green New Deal. And once again, if you click on that, I'm just saying, just walking you through it, also brought up by the United Nations. And it is a total indoctrination thing. And in that also is the program for the United Kingdom Great Green New Deal, which everybody is starting to get out from under. This was done during Ban Ki-moon. His time period. In his time period, he called for a global Green New Deal, meaning to go out and about beyond the scope of national governments. And in this, you know you're in trouble, because further down is you're like, hey, my government's not going to go through this. And he mentions all the horror shows, all the sustained city planning, and how they're going to force everything on everybody. It's all right here. In the 20th century, it says governments, who needs them? Who needs them when we have the United Nations Green Keynesian projects and the green collar economy of Van Jones, right? read it yourself, because there's just, you can't even pull one or two significant things out of this shit because it's all horrible. And it was all printed, what did I say, 12 years ago, which means it had occurred another 10 years before that. Now, anybody who's looking, once again, try to find a decent production slide of Germany's electric sector, okay? Electricity runs production. Germany loves to produce things. So without electricity, they cannot produce. I've included this slide, and it was put out by Macroeconomy Meter, whoever the hell they are. They're one of the few people that you could actually find something about Germany that wasn't a puff piece. And it was, this is obviously prior to the recent years. I can't give you a year on it, but looking at these numbers, I'm going to say it's early 2000, maybe a little bit before that. If anybody does find out, correct me if I'm wrong. The important thing you have to look at here, and this is where the world's changed for the Germans. You heard them saying 36 or 40% of their available generated power is going to be alternative, which we know is a lie. And that's an optimal situation. That is a total fucking lie. All right. This one gives you the, you'll see energy sector statistics. Section A, which is 46.9% of the pie. Okay. That's coal fire. This is what they didn't want to use. Most coal fire plants, and there's a little key at the bottom, so you can look at this for yourself. It's coal. B is natural gas. Natural gas is only 11.5. I got to get new glasses. What's occurred is as they close the coal fire plants, natural gas production has probably taken up most of that 46% piece that you're going to look at. But that natural gas is all Russian, all Russian gas. The Germans do not have a natural gas system like this. They don't have it in the ground. It comes from Russia. So at some point pre-2000, someone looked at this and like I said, they have D7 electricity production from renewable sources. Okay, and this is where you're lying. This is the lie, all right? Here's part of the lie. D itself, electricity production from renewable sources. D7 is excluding hydroelectric. So in renewable sources, they consider like your dam and things like that. If you have a generation plant on dams, they've discounted that. However, they didn't discount it as much as they should. I will guarantee that that has not been discounted correctly, nor is a little bit of where the section E, which is oil. I mean, you can look at it yourself and you'll know that you're looking at bullshit. But just remember the A section is now mostly all gas, which comes from Russia. So 46.9% of that plus another 11 is 57. 57% of your natural, and this doesn't, you know, and nuclear power could have been expanded, but they had started shutting nuclear power plants down. And this is going to come up later in this discussion. So you're shutting down nuclear power. You're shutting down oil, which was only a little bit, but they're gone. You're shutting down coal, which now leaves you with the majority of your generation for electricity based on outside gas production. Okay. Yeah, nuclear resources, 16.3%. That could have actually become a quarter or more, as far as I recall. The Germans decided to close down perfectly acceptable nuclear power plants that had not gone to the end of their life, just to shut them down, just so there'd be no other reason but to develop this bullshit wind and solar stuff, which we find to be highly inefficient, very expensive, and takes a lot of electric to manufacture, unless you're buying it from the Chinese, in which case they don't give a shit, okay? So now you see what's happening there. You had this indoctrinated facility coming out of the United Nations think tanks, hitting Europe, hitting Germany specifically, hitting the rest of Europe, hitting the UK individually, and then they had a world plan And in that world plan, also the plan that came to us 2-3 years ago, or during Donald Trump's period, I guess it was, which is the AOC and the squad and the Green New Deal of Joe Biden, which it was not. It was the United Nations program, which we show right in this documentation, and also right in this documentation, how damaging it was going to be. Okay, so these guys, whoever they are working with Merkel, decided to completely forswear national security and to go in this direction. And then to forswear the national security of the other countries in the NATO alliance and have them go in this direction. Instead of increasing the viability of even additional nuclear power, right now, as far as I've seen, and I'd have to go look for it again, I think there was a new reactor that was being built in like Sweden or something, one of the Scandinavian countries. It's a model reactor, it's not the full size. The efficiency level and the safety level is incredible. Off the subject, most older reactors, you know, the Three Mile Island that I remember, stuff like that, Turkey Point, which we have down here, a lot of reactors, in fact, I'll say all generation 1 through 3, because I think we're on 4 or 5 now. All those reactors are actually based on naval propulsion systems. The reactor that was designed to run a submarine, the reactor that was designed to run an aircraft carrier. So there was inherent design inefficiencies because of the necessary what we're doing here. Are we pushing a submarine through the water, or are we lighting up Johnny's bedroom? Two different things going on, two different efficiencies or inefficiencies that had to be taken into consideration. We've seen articles where the Soviet Union, who actually always gets the best dollar, a bang for their dollar, sponsored Greenpeace, sponsored all these other organizations to stop nuclear power from continuing, knowing that this would work. So you have to say to yourself, was there another Cambridge Circle, you know, going on? This is prior to Putin now. You know, this is a continuation of the old Stalinist, socialist system. Putin inherits this information because he inherits the country. So don't give him credit for everything. He's a wily foe, but this is shit that's been going on since the 60s. So the Cold War, as is mentioned in the Merkel video, never stopped. We just wanted to think it stopped. All right. Reagan brought down the wall. Unfortunately, that didn't end it all for everybody. Okay. So now we have these little bits of information for you. Turn yourself to the Amit Sengupta video, which is exactly the problem that we have as independent journalists, because you have to, consider yourself an independent journalist if you're doing this, because you are. Otherwise, they'll arrest you, right? They'll arrest you anyway. In the documentation, Sengupta, who is actually very, very good, if you haven't been looking at his videos, I suggest you do. He's a professor or something over in India. It's done in English. There's also a Hindi one. If you want to learn it and if you want to watch the show in Hindi, knock yourself out. But he is very up to date on the topic. He helps people that are trying to test for English civil service exams and their Department of State and things. So you have to know a lot of different information. And Professor Sengupta comes up with that. Really good stuff. As he says, which is what I and the rest of the people say, history is being scrubbed as it is being discontinued. Finding the documents like I wanted to show you for this, I'd have to go to some library somewhere to find it. And I guess eventually, if we can make some more, make any money around here, we'll start using even better sources or bring in some researchers that, as we would use at like a college level, and really give you some good information to look at. But he says the same thing, very hard to get the information anymore from things happening even 10, 15 years ago. So you have to realize that the assault against Western civilization, while having gathered steam all these years, probably began sometime around the time of the Obama administration, I would guess. It was being slow walked, and then they really let the hounds out after that. And it's been going ever since, as we realized by, you know, the things that happened during President Trump's administration and stuff. So let's not get in the weeds. Watch the video in its entirety if you can. Take the time to watch it. You can watch it at work. There's no dirty words. There's no penises or breasts. You can get through it. It's very important to see what's in there. I don't agree with exactly everything because I don't think Angela Merkel is an unknowing victim in this whole situation. I have a feeling that she was right in there understanding what it was that was asked to be done as far as to disarm Germany. And then the thing that he likes in his thing is he's trying to reference an interview that Merkel had in which she says, I wish the Germans had spent more money on defense. This is back when they were coasting on NATO, which is what Donald Trump got on them about. Knowing there was going to be a Russian-Ukrainian war coming up. Also, I guess the idea was, well, you know, how are you going to, you know, even if you knew that, why would you think the Russians would continue to supply you with fuel? Oh, but they are. They are still supplying Europe with fuel. So what in the world is going on in the Ukraine, right? Or why in the world is it going on in the Ukraine? When the combatants are doing business with each other openly. The NATO forces, except for America, and America is doing it too, but not in right there in that area, are openly supplying each other with supplies to make money to spend in Ukraine fighting it out. It boggles the mind how some people haven't just overthrown whatever that they can overthrow. But do yourself a favor, check that out. It's a good video. I liked it. I thought it brings up a lot of points. You know, maybe I'm wrong, but I know that if I had a country that was energy self-sufficient or pretty close to energy self-sufficient, the last thing I would do, especially knowing my country's track record with the Russians, meaning Germany and Russia from World War II, last thing I'd want to do is put myself under the knife of the Russian bear. And yet they did it. Because there's an overall higher driver. And that's what came up in this Gatestone article here. If it'll repost, Gatestone Institute, if you aren't getting their emails, get their emails. They have a lot of stuff. They get a little super duper, they spend more of their time on Israel. So if Israel's not your cup of tea, then you really don't, you know, you're going to throw a lot of this shit away because they basically aren't giving you any, they'll say they are and they're telling, you know, how many more times am I going to hear the Iranians are evil? I got you. You know, mission accomplished. I understand. Beat me up with the same story over and over again may get you money from your fundraising or crowdfunding or whatever the hell you're doing. Doesn't mean anything to me. All right. This is exactly what we were looking for when we're talking about a higher power. I'm not saying intelligent reptiles, but slavish devotion to doctrine that we know isn't going to work, but it's going to harm people. And this came out on the 15th, and the title was Belgium's Energy Suicide. And what it's telling you here, because we're talking about the whole issue of energy security, how it's been affected. You know, we got a lot of problems here as far as Ukraine war. Since the invasion of Ukraine, Belgium is the only Western country that has shut down a fully operational nuclear reactor. The closure of a second nuclear reactor under exactly the same conditions and without the slightest operational alternative, meaning they don't have anything planned to take the place of these nuclear reactors, two of them. There's nothing in the country that can generate the power to replace that. Nothing at all, even bringing in the gas won't work because that's not how a nuclear power plant works. You can't slave it over like you can a coal and gas plant. It would still take a while. And they're planning to do this second one at the beginning of 2023. All right? Why? Why would you do that to your people? You know, it's just crazy. And then they give you the story that you want to hear is most of the major environmentalist organizations that have been actively supported and financed by the Russian Federation, with Russia hoping that if they could discourage the West from developing energy sources, and this goes way back to Greenpeace, the West would turn to Russia for energy imports, as it did. This financial support did not have to be direct. It was enough to create environmental foundations, which they're all over the place, headed by the leaders of major environmental organizations and massively financed by Moscow, such that the current Belgian Ministry of Energy was a 50% partner in the law firm Blixt, B-L-I-X-T, which represented in Belgium the interest of Russia's state-controlled Gazprom. So the current Minister of Energy is a 50% partner in a law firm that represents Russian gas, and he's the guy who has shut down one, soon to be two, nuclear reactors, meeting an increased amount of demand for Russian gas. And nobody sees this? Nobody in Belgium? Is there anybody in Belgium? Okay. It's just like I despair for us as humans at this point. But that's exactly what you're looking for. There's your fucking smoking gun in Belgium, of all places, right? The hub of the European Union. How they got that job, considering they get their ass kicked in every war, I have no idea. And like I said, you're going to see it. Read the rest of the article. It's energy security issues. Belgium got in there because it's doing its best to fucking rob everybody's, you know? $6 billion per year going into Flanders, which is part of it. That's called the Wallonia. There's two types of Belgians. One are French-speaking and one are English-speaking. No, Dutch, whatever the hell. They speak Dutch, I guess. I know the Walloons speak French, okay? Amazing, all right? They're putting $6 billion a year into it, which they will then drop out once these reactors are closed, and will plunge that whole part of their country into abject poverty. There'll be no money in there because it's a welfare state, kind of. And it's just, it's amazing, you know? It's amazing that they don't see this. I mean, I'm not that smart. And I can see where it's coming, you know? And then now that instead what they're going to do, because you're closing your two perfectly good reactors, they're going to, who cares how much it costs, urgent construction of natural gas-fired power station that emit large quantities of CO2. And that will be allowed because it'll be necessary to make up for the short-term loss or long-term loss of the nuclear power plant, which did not have those kind of emissions. Same with France, destroyed its nuclear power network under pressure from environmentalists, as has Germany, which now prefers coal-fired power stations to civil nuclear power. You'd rather have a coal fire? And they're telling you how evil coal fire is, right? It boggles the mind, but this is where you're seeing what people are telling you. This is how you're going to end up with food scarcity. This is how you're going to end up with energy scarcity. This is how you end up with wars over water. Because this devotion to this sick fucking green new whatever, the term green, you know, is horrifying. You know, if anybody tells you they're green, put a bullet in them if you can. Put them in a prison. They're going to kill as many people as they can just to prove that they were right. Doesn't matter how much money has to be spent on it. This doesn't make good business. If you went to get yourself a degree at Wharton or something, oh, who knows with those guys, maybe it is good business. But it's not good business in the grander Ebenezer Scrooge mankind should have been my business speech with Jacob Marley. Not at all. Which is why you see why people want to dissolve the corporate structure as it is. Because you could get it, guys, after that. But this fellow here, Tini van der Straaten, Belgian Minister of Energy, and he's with the Greens Party. 50% partner of Blixt, right? Somebody ought to go and punch him in the head a couple times. Straighten his brain out. I'm sorry, that would be figuratively do that. Don't actually do that. Draw a picture of it and send it to him. That's enough of that. So great, I mean, not great stuff to read, but finally getting some teeth in some of this stuff, man. I mean, you have no idea how hard it is to go and try to find decent research material to then foist upon you. But hopefully this will give you something to think about. Those of you in Europe, you got to vote out everybody. Everybody, especially anybody green. If you think that means that you're going to grow corn in your backyard, it does not. It means it's bringing on a socialist level of servitude, very similar to what they did with the food programs in the Ukraine back in the old days, the starving times, as they would call them. So other than that, I hope you all have a good Thursday evening, and I will talk to you later on. Goodbye.